Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We are really moments away from Yom HaDin, so Baruch Hashem, we get to learn together before the awesome and awe-inspiring time. Lilui Nishmas Merim Fron, Merim Baschaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hashem, Hashem Hashem Ali, and the merit of our Torah. So the insights that I've chosen to bring in and the sources are going to be Yom HaDin, Asarosim Teshuvah focused, since we're going through the section on Tefillah. But I did want to start with one thing that I read yesterday that's not really Tefillah focused, but relates so much to our learning in this Chabura, specifically pre our section on Tefillah. I'm quoting from the Sefer Days of Ad, Days of Joy, put out by TorahWeb.org. It's a compilation of many different Devarei Torah from many different Rabban. Okay, so I'm quoting from Rav Hershel Schechter. My mom just read this yesterday, and I think that this is Yom HaDin focused, not specifically Tefillah focused, but Yom HaDin focused, but it relates to a lot of what we learned. I'll give you an example. I shared this with Shani last week. The kids were being very eager, and I don't have such little ones, and helping in the kitchen, and we're not only cooking for Shabbos or whatever it is, but whatever I'm cooking, trying to put things in the freezer. I can't do everything the last minute with my schedule. It's not possible. So I kept saying, you know, how do you do the food processor? Trying to put the lid on, trying to take it off. I said, wait, we're not up to the food processor yet. And the mamish broke, not like the plastic piece broke. I did not need a new food processor. It was very good. The kitchen was a mess. It was not a good time for the food processor to break. It's something we use all the time. Cocoa, cucumber, salad, smoothie, whatever. And in my head, and it is 1,000% because of the shear, we just had this example with the shoe a few months ago. A few weeks ago, in my head, I said, I promise, this is a true story, Hashem, this child did not, I can't believe I said this, but I did, this child did not break my food processor. You broke my food processor. And not only did you break the food processor, but you can afford to fix the food processor. I couldn't fix it. You could afford a new food processor, and that was it. So I actually met somebody from the Chabur in Costco when I went to buy a food processor the next day. And she said, you know, you should tell the child you're happy the food processor broke. So I said, because Hashem wanted to have a new. I said, I think that's where I draw the line. I said, because we still have to be mechanech the children to personal responsibility. I said a few times, wait, we're not up to the food processor. Don't put on the lid. It should not be done. So I don't think it's appropriate. Me personally, you have a different hashkafa, that's fine. I don't think you should go around telling the child who was warned or admonished or asked to wait, I'm happy you broke this, because what am I actually teaching the child? But I did not lash out. I did not say anything. My mom did not say anything. The child was about, let's go buy a new one right now. Yes, what? No, chas v'shalom. No. No. But Baruch Hashem, but the point is, I hope that for all of us, there are nekudos that you take home from this learning that you could, it's very nice to sit and learn, and it feels all exalted and intellectually stimulating. That's not the test. The test here, when there's no nisyonos, when we're all just intellectually stimulating ourselves in a chabura of friends and Torah, that's not the test. The test is when we're out there, whether it's tefillah, whether it's amuna, whether it's bein adam lechavero, whether it is any of the topics, seeing hashgacha pratis, what, no matter what, do you apply it in your life? No, not to pat yourself on your back. Al tachzik tov la'atzmichal ki lekach nusarta. To say, Baruch Hashem, I was able, lomor ulalamid lishmor, the last sauce. So I want to read this from a Hershel Schechter Shlita. Oh, yeah.
One thing. You can buy parts.
I know.
And they can come next day.
I know. But the plastic, actually, whatever. I got a new one. That was Bashir.
I also needed just a new top.
I know. It wasn't as expensive as I thought. I felt like I saved money. I thought it was a few hundred. It was only $150, so I felt like I had a mitzvah that day. An attitude of confidence. Rav Hershel Schechter, listen to this, please. And this is something that what I'm going to read now from Rav Hershel Schechter, something that we spoke about so often. In anticipation of Rosh Hashanah, we take haircuts, we dress as we do for Yom Tov. To demonstrate, we are confident that Hashem will be kind to us and judge us favorably on Yom HaDin. Likewise, after the close of Yom HaKippurim, we celebrate, we have a festive meal, we are confident the judgment was a favorable one. There's an attitude of simcha. How can we be so confident? Every year, tragedies occur. Rahman al-Islam, people die prematurely. People become impoverished. They used to be wealthy, they're not anymore. We spoke about that, the shoes. There's a lot of suffering in the world that would seem to contradict the confidence we exhibit. The Chazon Ish explains in his essay on Emunah and Bitachon, listen to this, when we ask a sick person to have Bitachon, it doesn't mean, the Chazon Ish explains, he should be confident he will recover. One cannot be sure of anything. Only God can be sure of an outcome. Bitachon means to live by Emunah, We've spoken a lot about bitachon and emuna in this class previously to our section on tefillah. Bitachon means, Rav Hirsch Schlechter coined the chazon ish, bitachon means to live by emuna. Emuna means believing God has complete control over everything in this world. If God wants me to live and be happy and healthy, there is nothing anyone can do to negate that. If for some reason the Ribbono Shel Olam wants a person to suffer, then that's his will. Where does the simcha come from? Accepting Ratzon Hashem with joy. Not that it's my ratzon, not that it's what I want. God has a ratzon. The ratzon may be for that person to have a year of joy and health and happiness. And Rahman Tzlan Lahavdil, the year might be the other way. If God wants me to suffer, then as that is his will, that's his lashon, we should accept it with joy, says Rav Hirsch Schlechter, with the knowledge that everything Hashem does is for the good. The next thing I find very impactful is something that I struggle with. I try to remind myself all the time, when someone harms another, one should not think, if not for that individual, I would not have suffered. Bechira is limited, Ayve. No one has the ability to harm another person unless there was a gezeira from heaven decreeing that the victim should be harmed. I am quoting, I'm going to repeat what I said, we spoke about this a lot, not right now, but I happened to mamash read this yesterday with my lunch, and when I read this with my lunch, keeping in mind what we learned, whether it was last year or a year and a half ago, we spoke about this repeatedly. I'm going to repeat it. When someone harms another, one should not think, if not for you, I would not have suffered. We believe bechira is always limited. No one has the ability to harm another person unless there is a gezeira from heaven decreeing the victim should be harmed. As the Gemara says in Maseches Chulin, and we quoted this Gemara, no one will injure his finger below unless it was so ordained from above. We spoke about that. Ein Adam Nekav Etzbo Milamata, Ala Inkein Machrizin Lav Milamala. Once a gezeira is decreed, God gives the person the ability to exercise bechira, and that may include harming another individual. So it's something I'm trying to work on now in a certain matzav where I feel hurt by a certain person, and I'm trying, like the food processor, to remind myself, that person has bechira, but they're not doing anything to me. Hashem is doing this. The same as Hashem broke the food processor. That's literally what I told myself in the moment that the plastic cracked. You saw my recipe from this morning? We were in the middle of shredding the carrots. The first time I made it, it didn't work. I had to make it again yesterday to get it the right way. But in the middle of shredding carrots, so Nebuchadnezzar's child's like, should I chop the carrots? I'm thinking to myself, Hashem, you broke the food processor. Or if somebody harms me, it's the same thing. I have to remember that for whatever reason, Ribbono Shel Olam wanted me to have this. Rav Hirsch Schlechter writes this, we are all expected to lead our lives in accordance with these principles of Amunah, and living by the principles of Amunah is what it means to have bitachon. Why are we confident on Yom Hadin and Yom HaKippurim? We're not confident that our judgment will be in our favor. Rather, our confidence consists of our belief that Hashem is all-powerful. His will ultimately prevail. Whatever he does is l'tov, even in the event that it may be detrimental to us. It's an exceedingly high madriga, but it is absolutely something that has been reiterated to us in the Sefer over and over and over again. And I thought that it was very interesting to read it coming from this Hashkafic camp, not only from this Hashkafic camp, because it is extremely high madriga of Amuna, and it is a reinforcement of so much of what we have spoken about. I can't say I'm there. I told you I'm working very hard on this. I can't say that I'm there, but it is an ideal to know and understand. What are we confident? And we're confident that Hashem's Ratzon is always going to be upheld. He is the Melech. And what the Ribbono Shel Olam desires, nobody could do anything to me in this world if God does not want it. If he wills it, it's going to happen. If he doesn't will it, it's not going to happen. Pashut, the end. And that is living with Amunah and Bitachon. Okay, anything. I don't want to sort of go off into a whole side point of those thoughts, because it could become very stormy. It's a new Sefer. Days of awe, days of joy. It's a Rav Meir Twersky, I quoted from him the other day, Shlita. Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, Rav Tzvi Sobolovsky, my brother's Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Mordechai Willig, Rav Hirschel Schachter, Rabbi Yudin, Rabbi Binyamin Yudin, Benjamin Yudin. Okay. Okay, let's go. They also have another one of these. It's put up by Torah Web. If you never saw TorahWeb.org, they have a compilation of all different Divrei Torah. They have another one. The first one that came out is called Chinuch, Contemporary and Timeless. It looks the same in different colors. Also a compilation of different Divrei Torah. This one is on Alo and the Yamim Noraim. Okay, let's go. So we're on page 131, please. Okay? Let's go to the right in the middle of the page. If one uses his mouth to speak to the Creator, the last thing we sort of ended with is Hashem Tzilcha al Yad Yaminecha, that Hashem behaves with us the way we behave with Him. But I do believe, and I could be incorrect, but I do believe that Hashem acts with us quite lifnim mishur sadin, because if He absolutely acted with us the way we always act with Him, at least for myself, I would have been in big trouble a very, very long time ago. So I don't think that Hashem acts with us strictly al pidin. There is definitely lifnim mishur sadin, not always in the way that we act with Him, and that is for our benefit. If, we're up to the word if one uses his mouth to speak to the Creator, there is an element of mouth-to-mouth pe'a-pe'a dabirba. Mouth-to-mouth, I speak to Him, that's what Hashem said, vis-a-vis His relationship with Moshe Rabbeinu. Certainly we cannot be on the level Moshe Rabbeinu, because no prophet has arisen like Moshe. But everyone, that's in his obituary, actually gives you the source right there. At the end of Moshe's life, you would think he would have, you know, all kinds of to'arim, and the Matseva would be full of poems, and this whole long Matseva, there's not much there. That's the highest to'ar that a person can achieve, to be an Eved Hashem. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik tells over that when his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, Zecha Tzadik B'Kal Shevracha, was Nifter, he didn't want anything on his Matzeva. He left in his Tzava no To'arim, absolutely nothing on his Matzeva. His sons, the Brisker Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik Zatzal, and his brother, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Zatzal, insisted on one To'ar. They put one thing on the Matzeva, Rav Chesed. Besides for the name and the dates, one Torah they wanted, Rav Chesed. Okay? The greatest attribute is about Moshe is that he's an Eved Hashem. We can't all be that, but everyone has an aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu within. Certainly in terms of Nevuah, we can't be on the level of Moshe. And through that, we can attain a small degree of such level, and that is accessible to each individual. Very interesting. I just told this to my daughter. I'm reading the Rebelsky biography now. I remember when Esther smiled, when probably the last year, she said, whatever biography I'm reading, that's the vignettes that I bring up and share. I just spoke at Holly's with that, I mentioned something from biography. Last year in my shir in Queens, another thing different from being from the biography. So, okay, so it's good. So we learn from the Gedolim. So, interesting, I just told this to my daughter. My daughter's name is Tamar. Rabelsky's wife was expecting with one of her pregnancies, and there was some sort of complication, and the doctor told her it's not going to be a good situation, a good matzov, so he was very close to her, Moshe Feinstein. He went to her, Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal, for a bracha, and Moshe gave him a bracha. And when the baby was born, they named the child Tamar. You know what it was an acronym for? It's in the book, and he told us that. Tfilas Moshe Rabbeinu. They went to Rav Moshe for a bracha. They were Moshe to give a bracha and Davin. Tfilas Moshe Rabbeinu. Isn't that unbelievable? And she said to him, it's here in the book, she said, how come you never took me so he said to her, to get a bracha, I think she said, why didn't you never take me to get a bracha from him? He said to her, your whole life is a bracha from him. Okay? So it's true we can't all reach the level of a Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's true we can't all reach the level of a Rav Moshe Feinstein, but we can all reach a higher madriga than we're at. We can't put a glass ceiling for ourselves. We always have to be striving for more. That is accessible to each individual. The very fact that a person can talk to the Creator is the greatest achievement at all. I want to quote from Rav Shimshon Pinchas now. Because the vignette that I just mentioned, I said I'm really trying to, I try to prepare shir, not only tefillah focus, but specific focus for the time period of year that we are in. And here we have a situation, the vignette I just brought to you, when it's, by the way, Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo Kam Navi Bisrael Kamosha, or Moshe Feinstein, you have an example of a gadol and or a leader who not only prayed for themselves, Moshe hardly prayed for himself at all, spent most of his time, Moshe Rabbeinu, praying for Klal Yisrael. And the vignette I brought you, her name is Tamar, to this Moshe Rabbeinu. Here we have the power of the Klal, not only praying for ourselves, but praying for the benefit of someone else as well. Okay, 1 second. Rav Shimshon Pinchas writes, Zatzal, this in his Moadei Hashana, Elo and Rosh Hashanah. It's very, very beautiful. If you don't have it, it's really, I know Elo is almost over, but it's really very, very beautiful. Why smiling? You have it?
Yeah,
it's beautiful, right? Beautiful. Moadei Hashana, the month of Elo and Rosh Hashanah, Rav Shimshon Pinchas. Rav Shimshon Pinchas says, each one of us is responsible responsible for his brothers and for all the Jewish people, both for material matters of the Jewish people and for spiritual matters. And when we don't, what we cannot do indeed for our brothers, we must do through tefillah. During the Yamim Noraim, the obligation is much greater because the power of prayer placed in our hands is enormous. Remember the mashal in the Sefer that we learned a few weeks ago, that someone's going to give you a bottle of water. But if your hand is not out, what will happen? The bottle of water will fall in the floor. Hashem's giving us a gift. The gift is tefillah, but you have to be a receptacle to be mekabel that tefillah. The power of prayer placed in our hands at this time is enormous. The Gemara says during the Tzaras Mei Teshuvah, every Jew has the power of the tzibur. That's from Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The slichos, we recite the Yidgamon Midas Harachamim. That's our power. Reciting them, we awaken Midas Harachamim. Prayers of this type are guaranteed not to come back empty-handed. Listen what Rav Pinchas says next. We should know on Rosh Hashanah, we are in the midst of a war. It is a war, it is a battle of life and death. Hashem put us into a covenant of mutual responsibility. We need to fight not only for our own lives, but for the lives of our family, our friends, and all Jewish people. And he's going to go on with the mashal of war. And if you think of a soldier in battle, one soldier in battle cannot possibly be successful. You need the whole company. You need the whole troop. You need people fighting with you. In order that we can win this difficult war, we have tools. The power of shofar is tremendous. So to speak, it is a bomb carrying a powerful blast that can even move the heavenly throne of glory. Shofar is like a powerful bomb in a positive way. They can move the Kisei HaKavod. If we have tools of these, we have to use them. If they take a person, they set up in him a tank, he must be able to handle being in the tank. We are given tools to use them. Someone who shirks his responsibility and does not fight as he should for the Jewish people, he's talking about tefillah, the section is on davening for Knesset Yisrael, will be held accountable. That person could wind up being liable for material tragedies, spiritual tragedies that will take place amongst the Jewish people. It's possible that you see something, a terrible tragedy happen, and the human nature say, how could it happen? Why happen? Pinchas is saying, maybe I'm responsible. Maybe I didn't go to battle. We have to approach this period of year knowing it's not a simple job. A general sends to the front the soldier who has what it takes to win the battle. The other soldier can have a desk job, but who do you send to the front? He who can win the war. Hashem sent us to the front. He gives us the strength, he gives us the tools, and he expects us to be victorious. As it is known, we should not sleep on Rosh Hashanah day. Besides for the reasons mentioned in the halachic sources, there's the simple reason. Someone who sleeps on this day is like a soldier who falls asleep in the middle of fighting a war. Such a soldier would be considered insane. How can you sleep when there is shooting, there is fighting, there is battle all around you? So hashkafically, we can't fall asleep because you're on guard. Why are you smiling, Malki? You end up sleeping.
Bobby, I'm not sleeping. I'm in a chair. I try to sit sitting, but it's such a long
time. I can relate.
Right. Isn't it better to sleep instead of...
Sal?
Isn't it better to sleep?
Right. What did she say?
Isn't it better to... I'm not saying that. I'm not advocating sleep. I'm saying, isn't it better to sleep than do things that one should not be doing?
For sure. But hopefully we're not doing things we shouldn't be doing.
Okay,
you know, it's interesting you say that, because Rav Yonasan Eibishitz, that's all, ladies, listen. Rav Yonasan Eibishitz, that's all. Just like you're not passing halacha, I'm making this clear. I'm not giving you psak halacha. You have to ask a shayla if you have this question, if it's an issue for you. But Rav Yonasan Eibishitz taught, there's a halacha you're not supposed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av, from after Chatzos, Erev Tisha B'Av through Tisha B'Av. It makes you happy. Torah brings simcha. Rav Salvechik says, if not for Torah, I would have lost my insanity the year of my triple mourning. I believe it was 1967 when his mother, wife, and brother all died in the same year. He says, if not for Torah, I would have lost my insanity. So why is there a halacha you can't learn Torah? Because Torah makes you happy. This is a Yom Avilus. You're not allowed to do anything that makes you happy. So Rav Yonasan Eibishitz says, that's fine. But if somebody's going to be involved in something he shouldn't be doing on a Tisha B'Av, it's much more plausible, especially in today's day and age, Rachman, with some of the technology that we have, then it's preferable, says Rav Eibishitz, to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av than to do the questionable things. So that's when you say that, that's what it reminds me of, than to do all the, especially in today's day and age, it's not so hard to imagine. So if you pass the day of Tisha B'Av, Rachman al-Tzad, watching a movie, and I don't mean a Holocaust movie to put you in the mood of a Velas, I mean a movie, so then better, you should be learning some Torah. I'm not giving you a psak halacha. I'm telling you what Rav Yonasan Eibishitz says. But that's what it reminded me of. I hope on Rosh Hashanah we're not doing inappropriate things. I hope we're not. We could be, but I hope we're not.
We try to be better.
We try. Okay? That's what it reminded me of. So I just read you from Rav Shimshon Pinkus, that Rav Pinkus says the shofar is so powerful, so to speak, it's a bomb. It's such a powerful blast, it can move even the heavenly throne of glory. Even the Kisei HaKavod can be moved by shofar blast. Interestingly, I'm going to relate this exactly to something Rav Soloveitchik says. I also highly recommend this. If you don't have this, listen to my Sunday Night Shiur online. You heard me recommend it then. Also, it's Art School Machzor. The format is exactly Art School. It's like in the papers on their Art School pages. Art School Machzor with commentary of Soloveitchik. But the format of the Machzor is the format we are all used to. Hebrew, English, looks like Art School. Anyway, after shofar blowing, okay, in Musaf, after shofar blowing, we say, Arashas Sifasenu, Ya'arav Lefanacha. Arov means guarantor, and it also means pleasant or nice. The utterances of our lips should be pleasant before you. Kel, God, Ram Venisa. Ram is exalted, Rome, high up. Venisa, and uplifted, like, Su'u, as Rosh Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael Mishpachosam. To take a census also means to lift up. How do we understand that Hashem is described as Ram V'nisa? Now, Rav Pinkus just told us that shofar is a blast that can even move the Kisei HaKavod. Could you imagine that something is a power to move the Kisei HaKavod? We just start off an insight in the name of the Chazon Ish, brought down by Rav Heschel Shachter, that's saying God's will is God's will. Nothing can move God's will. Nobody did anything to. That child did not break my food processor, and the person who I'm finding painful is not paining me the Ribbono Shel Olam, for whatever reason, wants me to go through this. So he's absolute. What do you mean I can move the Kisei HaKavod? But that's what Pinkus just told me through shofar. Interestingly, right after shofar, first we say Hayam Haras Olam, Hayar Bam Yamik Bamishba Kayitsue Olamim, Mkavanim, Mkavadim, you all know these words. And then we say Arasha Sifasenu, the utterances of our lips, Ya Arav Lefanecha, as in Yarav Nasich Alacha, Aravus doesn't only mean Kol Yisrael Aravim Zeh B'Zeh. What?
Sweet.
What did she say? I can't.
Sweet.
Correct. I'll tell you a beautiful var. Kol Yisrael Aravim Zeh B'Zeh does not only mean all of Israel are guarantors for one another. Aravus has a different meaning. It means pleasant, sweet, nice. I heard this told over many, many years ago by Rabbi Dr. J.J. Shachler, and it struck me as very profound and impactful. It also means in his words, all of Israel should be nice to each other. We have many instances. Any instance, ayin reish veis, it's not only me. We always say all of Israel should be guarantors for one another. It's also very appropriate to have in mind as we go into Yom HaDin, because the last Mishnah, Maseches Yuma, tells us that ein Yom HaKippur mechaper a mitzvah shebein adam mechaveiro ad sheiratzes chaveiro. There's no kapara for mitzvah shebein adam mechaveiro. God's willing to overlook if I was accidentally mechal Shabbos and I do teshuvah. Let's say not so. Let's say Rechon Hatzlan Shabbos mechal Shabbos. They do fall teshuvah. Makom shabali teshuvah omdim ein tzadikim gemurin omdim and Hashem forgives. But you hurt your friend, it's not so pasha. Does not only mean we're guarantors, which we are. But Pinkus says if you didn't daven for your fellow Jew, so you're responsible. It also means we have to be nice. Okay, after shofar, we say Yarav Lefanecha, the utterances of our lips should be pleasant, sweet, pleasing before you. Kel, Ram Venisa. Okay, Mevinu, Mazin, Mabinu, Makshiv, the Kalt Kiyosenu. Okay. Rav Soloveitchik says in everyday language, he's talking about Ram Venisa. We often refer to people or items as subjects or objects. What do we mean? If one writes a letter, the letter writer is the subject. He is engaged in a creative activity. The letter is the passive object, the item being acted upon. This simple concept is applicable to virtually anything in the world. Many things are either objects, almost everything we do. I'm either the object or the subject. I am either acted upon or I'm acting upon something else. On a metaphysical level, on a non-physical level, one can conceptualize Hashem as the nosei, a subject in the most absolute sense. His omnipotence is expressed in a number of ways. He is the creator of the world. He is the Ein Sof. Now that relates to the first word that we started by Rav Heschel Shachter. He is the absolute one, and his will is one, and that's it. There's no influence in God's will. You didn't break my food processor. What am I getting mad at you? Baruch Hashem, I did not get mad at him. But let's say I would have gotten mad, but I didn't. But let's say I did. I'm getting mad at the wrong one. Really, it was Hashem. So I can't be mad at Hashem. That's ludicrous. I'm just taking all my anger on the vehicle, but that's not correct. Hashem is a nosei, a subject in the most absolute sense. However, there are occasions, paradoxically, when he acts as one who can be nisa, implored, acted upon. This attribute is evidenced specifically when we refer to Hashem as Shomea Tefillah. Now, the very concept of prayer is a mystery. How can lowly man influence the Ribono Shel Olam through tefillah? And yet, quote, and I just read to you, it's unbelievable how they say the exact same. Listen to the words. Rav Pinkas, in order that we win the difficult war, we were given appropriate tools. Rav Soloveitchik, prayer is the most powerful tool in the hand of man. Because through prayer, man as Nosei can influence Hashem as Nisa. All of a sudden, the equation is reversed. The one, capital T, capital O, who can never be influenced, whose will is absolute, who influences, in fact, everything and everyone else in this situation, in which situation, when I grasp the tool of prayer, I could influence God. In a homiletical interpretation, therefore, the Rav explained, HaMelech HaYoshev Al Kisei Ram V'Nisa, as representing this idea. This king who sits upon his throne, Ram V'Nisa. Ram refers to Hashem's absolute control. Nisa refers to Hashem as in a relationship with Jewish destiny as he relates to our entreaties. So we would say Ram, he is the subject. Nisa, he is the kaviyachal, as if it were possible, the object that we act upon. So to speak, what is the only koach when we can actually influence, so to speak, the Ribono Shel Olam's will? Through tefillah. And Rav Pinkas says, so powerful is it that we can even move the heavenly throne. Let's go on. Okay. As we discussed at length, any questions or comments? It's clear?
Yes.
When you were saying,
what?
What bothered me is what you were saying about your son and, you know, no, it's Hashem who broke.
I said that in my head.
I don't think you're supposed to look at things that way. I think that if your son broke it, even Bishoge, if he broke it, it's not a matter of him losing it, but certainly he was the one. If Hashem controls everything, there's a reason that this kid was the one that did it.
Okay. One second. That's absolutely true. That's why I did not go home and say what this other person said to me. You should tell your child you're happy. I don't think that's good chinuch. One second. I don't think that's good chinuch to tell the child I'm happy you broke this. He was, one second. I'll tell you. For me, in that moment, I had one goal. Not to get upset.
Right.
That was my only goal. Whatever works, it's my personal will to Hashem. That's what I'm saying. If it doesn't work for you, don't do it.
Right.
But something that we learned in the Sefer, 1 minute. For me, my tafkid, it was a work day and a cooking day and a tiring day and a very pressured day. And for me at that moment, I had one goal. And it was a nisayon for me, and that was to remain not upset with the child. So if that works for me, it's the right thing.
Right.
Because my media, call a co ace, call me nay, gahalim, shol timbo.
Right, no, that part was great.
Okay, so I didn't say to the child, I'm happy you broke the food presser. And then when I brought the new one home, and the child is also trying to put the lid on, please wait for mommy. The child understood full well that mommy was not happy it broke. But for me, I had one avoda. That was for Mekom. If it doesn't work for you, don't do it. But the fact that I was able, call a koes, kilo over the avodas are. The fact that I was able to remain calm in the moment is only sign that I passed.
Right.
Okay, let's go on. Whatever works for you. If you have a different way to stay calm or to pass your specific sign, use it. Whatever's going to help you pass it. Not to be over Ben Adam and Makom, and even more, we just said not to be over Ben Adam and Chaveiro. Okay, I quoted a different shir earlier this week. Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky says, when it comes to mechila, we're expected to ask, it's no different with the people in our homes. It's not just asking mechila of other people. It's the siblings and the parents and the children and the spouses. Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky in the Sefer also says, it's also the people in our families and homes. Let's go. As we discussed at length, there are two... Oh, wait, you wanted to say something.
I was saying a lot to digest.
I know. So it's going to go online. You could read this in.
Okay.
It's a lot, we're learning a lot of information.
Yeah,
okay. So we'll review it. We'll ask Rosh Hashem Plinira. As we discussed at length, there are two kinds of speech. The way of crying out, which is speech that comes from distress, and speech that comes as a man speaks to his friend, simply and naturally. So I have to tell you something unbelievable. I went to look up by Parshas Kisavo. Parshas Kisavo begins with the klaus, but then it ends with the klaus, and it begins with the parsha of Bikurim and Mikra Bikurim. And what we tend not to remember is not parsha klaus, so we're not going through it in depth now, but the text of Mikra Bikurim, the recitation that the person brings when he brings his first fruits, forms the crux of Magid in the Haggadah. V'anisa v'amarta l'fnei Hashem l'kecha. Arami oved avi v'yered b'tzraima. Okay? Mayagar sham b'mseima. V'ayu sham l'gai gada. You know these words up by heart. Every phrase that I'm reading from these psukim, it's perichav of Devarim, is expounded upon by the Balei Haggadah. And this is what we spend so much time telling the Devarim Torah. V'ayu sham l'gai gada atzum v'ra. V'yareo sana mitzvim v'yanunu v'yitnu aleinu avoda kasha. Who remembers the next words? And the Balei Musar say, when you say this in the Haggadah, you could ask for anything you need. Vanitzak al Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, vayishma Hashem Eskolenu, vayarzan yenu, v'esem aleinu, v'esachtzenu. So when the Mechaber in our Sefer says, one way of is crying out, speech that comes from distress. So I went to look up Vanitzak, and I figured I'm going to look in the commentaries. You have to hear what the Aruch Chaim says. And it's interesting you just brought up my food processor example, because I said, help me pass my Nisar. And I had one year to her then. It wasn't to become angry. Vanitzak el Hashem, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, Kan ramas shetzaricha adam lihitpalel Hashem. Here you have an allusion, a hint, that man is required to pray to Hashem b'chol yom, every day. You know what for? What? Sheyatzilehu miyetzer hara. That's what the Aruch Chaim says in this Mikra Bikurim on Vanitzak. You know what the Vanitzak's for? Call out to God about your Yetzer is driving crazy. V'hu amro Vanitzak el Hashem. V'amro v'yishma Hashem es koleinu. Perush. Right? After it says Vanitzak el Hashem el kei v'seinu. V'yishma Hashem es koleinu. Perush. Hagam shashem hu shabara Yetzer hara. Hashem is the one who created the Yetzer hara. Livchon ha'adam. What's livchon ha'adam? Bechina. To test man, ba'avoda sporo, in the work of his creator. Afal pikein, nevertheless, kishutso akim elav, when you call out to him because of the oppression of the Yetzer Hara, shomei kolam, he hears their voices. Mita'am shera'a et harashum shehu aniyenu v'amaleinu v'lesachsenu. Because we call out to Hashem. Why are you calling out? Raman shetzarich ha'adam lehispalel la'Hashem b'chol yam. I just taught in Parsha class this week. We went through a whole piece of the Ramban. And the Ramban speaks in depth about being Moshe Mashiach. There is not going to be a Yetzer Hara. I said, I cannot even imagine living in a world where there's no Yetzer Hara. I cannot even imagine. I can tell you the truth. You could look at the Ramban. You could look it up inside yourself and learn it. It's long. Can't even imagine living in such a world. You have to daven in this world every day. So if for me it worked to say you broke the food processor, Hashem, and therefore I was not angry and I passed my son, it's absolutely the right thing. I did not tell the child, I'm happy you broke the food processor. I don't believe that that's chinuch. But for me to control myself in that moment, because Hashem answers us, he sees the aniyenu, our suffering and our toil and our pressure. Haoni, so aniyenu, amaleinu, slachtzenu, right? Three different lashonos that we use to describe our oppression. Amaleinu, we say, nagada elu habanim. Clearly, the Aruch Chaim is taking a whole different spin on what we're davening for over here. Haoni, I see, thank you. Ha'oni hu afisas koach alochim. What does it mean we are like an oni? By the way, oni is ayin nun yud. It can also be changed into kudos.
Ani.
You're like an ani. You're like an impoverished person. You're like a poor person. You've been made impoverished by who? Yetzer hara. You're poor in spiritual merits if you let him learn. Ha'oni hu afisas koach alochim. Lochem, it is the weakening of the strength of he who is in battle. You know what's so interesting about this? What did Rav Pinkus just say during these days? We're like warriors in battle. The koach of the lochem, the fighter, is weakened. Isn't there one of the museums in Israel is something lochem, the museum of one of the fighters. The 36 from Gush Etzion.
In Gush?
The 36. Okay, let's go on. She'ain koach banu hamafsik lihilachem bo the garsho mimena. We don't have enough koach to fight this evil inclination to chase him away from us. That's oni. Amal amalenu hu she'anu tzrichin la'amal b'melchato. What does amelus mean? You have to toil. You have to work so hard in that war. Halachatz. What is the oppression? The oppression. Hu hadchak. You're being pushed. Shadochek hayetzer as haadam lachto bal karcho. The Yetzer pushes you to sin against your will. Uleshalosh sibos shama Hashem es kolenu. And for these three categories, Hashem, here's what I say. I think this is so unbelievable. For your reference, it is Parshas Kisavu, Devarim, Chaf Vav 7. It's something to do with Gush Etzion, the fighters in Gush Etzion, the 36 who were slaughtered. Kan Ramaz, Shatzarich Adam Lihit Palal Hashem, Bechal Yam. I'm repeating it, okay? Shiatzi Leil Mietzer Hara. Daven every day. 1 second. V'hu amro v'nitzek al Hashem, v'yish mashem es kolenu. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Yetzer to test man in the work of the divine, nevertheless, when we call out to him, he hears our voices. Why? Because he sees the impression of avniyenu amalenu slasenu. What's oni? The weakening of the strength of the fighter. We don't have enough strength to fight and to chase him away. What is amalenu? We need to be amel in this battle. A melus in Torah, you also need to be amel in the war with the Yetzer. What's lachatz? Adchak. Shadochek hayetzer as ha'adam lachto ba'charko. And according to these three, Hashem listens and therefore saves. I thought it was just unbelievable pshat. So there's a way of crying out. Can you find it? No? Okay. Yeah, you wanted to say something.
That in this world, if we did not have the Yetzer Hara in this world, we might as well just quit.
Might
as well just quit.
Okay, so the Gemara says
our whole essence, our whole being, our whole work is to.
So the Gemara says that, or it's the Medrash maybe, I'm not sure, please forgive me, I don't remember exactly. When the last Pasuk, Perek Aleph of Bereishis, Perek Aleph Lamed Aleph, Vayar Elokim Eskal Asher Asav, Vihine Tov Me'od, every day was Tov, the final statement in Ma'aseh Bereishis is Tov Me'od, and Chazal say Me'od refers to the Yetzer Hara. You hear what I just said? Ma'od refers to the Yetzer Hara. How? Because, Chazal go on to say, without the Yetzer Hara, man would not marry a woman. Man would not procreate and have children. Man would not build a house. Man would not be protected. That's exactly what you're saying. They're saying that that inclination fuels creativity and productivity in this world. Yeah, the flip side is that he's also very dangerous and he's not such a good guy.
Right, he's a very bad guy. He's very consistent.
Okay, yeah, so, yeah, we should learn from him.
No, so there's so much that we learned from him. Had he not been in our lives, we wouldn't have the
drive. You're right.
Why? The whole, it would be a totally different, so I'm thinking to myself, we're going to be a different Bria. Because if we don't
I'm sure we would be. I also say when it comes to Mashiach, I can't talk about. I don't know what's going to be. But this is the Ramban quotes. Okay, there is going to be some element of, the Ramban actually says there's not going to be any more Bechira.
It's like shining a lot.
There's no Bechira. Correct. Let's go. Okay? So one way is speech that comes from distress, vanitzak al Hashem elkei v'seinu, and speech comes on the second mode, I'm all the way in the bottom of page 131, as a man speaks to his friend, simply and naturally. One sense is the Creator is nearby, he speaks to him. He has the simple feeling Hashem is listening to his words, as if God, ki is a care of the capital H, has nothing else to do. This level of prayer is reached in the Shmona Esrei, which is recited quietly, kol demama daka. A subtle, quiet voice. When one screams, he feels as if Hashem is far away. He's going to go on in the next section to discuss this. But in Shmona Esrei, we speak to our friend who is right nearby. This is the essence of what we had said until this point. We'll continue to develop this point. So I just want to end with a little story. Yeah? Yes? No? Maybe?
Yes. Can I just say how, when we learn in Derry, it follows all the chronology of
The calendar year.
Like,
it was like by Tisha B'Av also. Unbelievable. So listen. This, I want to, the story is related to the first sentence on that page. The last thing I read from 131 through 132 is one senses the Creator is nearby and he speaks to him. He has the simple feeling Hashem is listening to his words as if he, capital H, meaning Hashem, has nothing else to do. So I want to share a story. Okay. This story was put out in a tradition journal 1995 by Rabbi Emanuel Feldman. Mrs. Cooperman, the elderly widow who attended my father's shul in Baltimore, was every rabbi's ideal congregant. She never spoke during services. She davened meticulously. She caressed every word. She listened to his sermon. She gave charity. She observed Shabbos and Kashrus. She honored those who studied Torah. There was only one problem. Other than her ability to read Hebrew, Mrs. Cooperman was completely unlettered and unlearned. That is why, in fact, she never skipped a word of davening. She was unable to distinguish between prayers that are recited on a regular Shabbos and those that are recited when Shabbos coincides with Rosh Chodesh, Yom Tov, Chanukah. The net result is every single Shabbos of the year, she recited every single prayer on every single page of Zusuf. She was going through Shacharis and it said after Yishtabach Shira Masmi Ma'amakim. It didn't matter if it was in the middle of Kislev, she would say Shira Masmi Ma'amakim. If she came to Yal V'Yavo in Shmon Esther, she would say it. My mother always sat next to her, would remind her, you don't have to say that. Today it's not Rosh Chodesh. Mrs. Cooperman would smile. I ask you, what's so terrible if I say it? If it isn't Rosh Chodesh, today soon it will be. It makes no difference. We three preteen brothers were more than a little amused by Mrs. Cooperman. After all, we were studying Chumash, Rashi, Shulchan Aruch. We found it absurd that an old lady could not make distinctions between Shabbos and Yom Tov. The mere thought of Mrs. Cooperman reading the Shemona Esrei or the Birkas HaMazon straight through without looking like, you know, in today the gray boxes that art scroll posts without distinguishing one section from the next was enough to brighten up the dullest days. One year, Rosh Chodesh Teves coincided with Shabbos Chanukah. During davening, we recited Yal V'Yavo, Al HaNisim, Halal, and in Birkas HaMazon we omitted nothing. It dawned on us, this one time of year, Mrs. Cooperman was right. You know when everything coincides. And on this Shabbos of the year, you opened the Siddur and you kept going, omitting practically nothing. Today is her day, and from that moment on, Shabbos, Chanukah, and Rosh Chodesh became known as Mrs. Cooperman's Shabbos. It was once only every few years. Many Chanukahs, Rosh Chodashim, and Mrs. Cooperman Shabboses have flown by since then. She is no longer amongst the living, nor are her rabbi or rebbetzin. We have passed down her story to our children and our grandchildren. And whenever that special Shabbos still occurs, I call my brothers and we reminisce. But while we chuckle at the memories of her name, our laughter is different. She no longer provokes giggles of mischievous boys, but smiles of appreciation and illumination. And we realize that she was ignorant in the subtleties and nuances of Torah learning. She possessed something then we utterly lack, and probably lack now still, devotion, surrender, and childhood-like innocence before the presence of God. We were too young to understand in the torrent of words she poured out, there lay a key ingredient of worship. She didn't know the translation, but she understood their meaning. She brought to her prayer a total submission of self before the presence of God, a love for a creator so consuming she could not bear to pass over a single word in that Siddur. She worshipped God not from knowledge or intellect, but from an inner spirit that transcends the mind. She didn't need proof for the existence of God. God was not an abstraction. He was a reality. She didn't know the halachas, underpinnings of prayer, but when she said Baruch Atah, she was talking to her personal creator, and she knew he was listening. She didn't know the subtle differences between faith and trust and belief, amuna bitachon, and her prayer calendar was a seamless web which did not distinguish between days. But she loved God, and her greatest joy was to engage in conversation with him. Give me 2 more minutes, please. It occurs to me that in our restlessness, I think this is a very important way to leave us before we enter the Yom HaDin. It occurs to me that in our restless society, when a synagogue's worth is measured by the rapidity with which it runs through Shabbos services, when insufficient velocity of prayer is considered sufficient cause to break away and begin a shtibla of your own, when omitting tachanun is a cause for joys at mincha, when we are irritated by the baal tefillah who keeps us for 5 extra minutes, when our prayers are often robotic, mechanical service of the lips. In such a hurried time, the picture of Mrs. Cooperman lovingly whispering every word of prayer is a striking counterpoint. Yes, her davening was halachically out of context. And while we certainly may approach God at any time with words of our own, the words of the sitter are sacred from the Anshei Knesset HaGadola. But when Mrs. Cooperman appeared before her maker, who is not constrained by mortal boundaries and limitations and clocks and calendars, and for whom time is an indivisible entity, I like to think perhaps he did not look with disfavor upon the seamless, timeless universe of his loyal servant, Mrs. Cooperman. As for us, we daven halachically. We pay careful attention to the appearance of 3 stars. We calculate precisely the time of plag mincha, alos ha-shachar, zman kriya shema. We occasionally feel a sense of kavana. But whether we succeed in emulating the way Mrs. Cooperman caressed the words, whether we genuinely surrender ourselves before our Maker, whether we worship Him in childlike innocence and fervor, only God knows. So I wish us all Allah siyata d'shmai in our tefillos. I wish you all, and myself, and Knesset Yisrael, the ability to be besimcha from Yeshua Hashem, the humility to accept Ratzon Hashem, come what may. Should all in your families be zochah to akasiva v'chasima tova, ashana tova, umivu rachas, yamalei Hashem, kol mishalus libeinu l'tova, amen v'amen. Thank you, ladies. Besor stovos.